the teacher. She started to teach young Indigenous girls like herself so they could also find the strength and the resources to build their own lives. One day, she decided to run for mayor of her town. She won many votes, but despite that, the townsmen canceled the election. "A woman is mayor? Don't be ridiculous," they said. Furious, Eufrosina started to work even harder. She founded an organization called Cuego to help Indigenous women fight for their rights. Their symbol was a white lily. "Wherever I go, I take this flower to remind people that Indigenous women are exactly like that. Natural, beautiful, and resilient," Eufrosina said. A few years later, Eufrosina became the first Indigenous woman to be elected president of the state Congress. When the First Lady of Mexico came to visit, Eufrosina walked arm in arm with her in front of the local population. She showed her father and the whole world that there is nothing that the strong Indigenous woman of Mexico cannot do.
Evita Perón, politician. "You must want. You have the right to ask. You must desire." May 7th, 1919 to July 26th, 1952. Argentina. Once upon a time, in South America, lived a beautiful girl called Eva. As a child, Eva dreamed of escaping her life of poverty by becoming a famous actress and film star. When she was just 15 years old, Eva moved to the big city of Buenos Aires to pursue her dream. With her talent, good looks, and determination, she soon became a celebrated actress on stage and on the radio. But Eva wanted more. She wanted to help people less fortunate than herself. One night, at a party, she met Colonel Juan Perón, a powerful politician. They fell in love and got married shortly after. When Juan Perón was elected president of Argentina 1 year later, Eva quickly became known by her affectionate nickname, Evita. The people loved her passion and her commitment to helping the poor. She fought hard for women's rights and helped women win their right to vote. She became such a legendary figure that she was asked to run as vice president to help govern alongside her husband. Although she was loved by the poor, many powerful people feared her charisma and power. "They just can't deal with a young, successful woman," she used to say. After discovering she had a serious illness, Evita decided not to run, although she did help her husband win a second term as president. When she died, only a few months later, the announcement came on national radio. "We have lost the spiritual chief of our nation."
Fadumo Diab, politician. "We will no longer negotiate for our existence." Born 1972, Somalia. Once there was a girl whose childhood was spent trying to escape from war. Fadumo and her family had to stay one step ahead of the fighting, and she could not go to school. She did not learn to read and write until she was 14. One day her mother told her, "You must leave the country. Take your brother and sister and go." Fadumo knew that her mother was right. War-torn Somalia was one of the most dangerous places in the world for children. When they finally arrived in Finland, they could do all the things that children can do when they live in a peaceful, democratic country. They had a home and beds. They had food every day. They could play and go to school. They were never beaten, and they could see a doctor for free if they were ill. But Fadumo never forgot about Somalia. She wanted to learn everything she could so she could go back to her own country and help her people regain freedom and peace. After earning 3 master's degrees, she left her family in Finland and started to work with the United Nations to set up hospitals across Somalia. "I have to be there," she told her husband. Today, Fadumo is Somalia's first female presidential candidate. No Somali woman has ever run for president before because it's extremely dangerous. But Fatima has no doubts. My mother always told me, you hold all life's possibilities in the palm of your hands. And that's true.
Florence Nightingale, nurse. I attribute my success to this. I never gave or took any excuse. May 12, 1820 to August 13, 1910, United Kingdom. Once upon a time, a baby was born to an English couple traveling in Italy. They decided to name their daughter after the beautiful city where she was born, so they called her Florence. Florence loved traveling. She loved math and science, and she loved collecting information. Whenever she traveled to a new place, she would note down how many people lived there, how many hospitals there were, and how big the city was. She loved numbers. Florence studied nursing and became so good at it that the government sent her to manage a hospital for injured soldiers in Turkey. As soon as she arrived, Florence started collecting and examining all the data she could find. She discovered that most of the soldiers died not because of their wounds, but because of infections and diseases contracted in the hospital. The very first requirement in a hospital is that it should do the sick no harm, she said. She made sure that everyone working there washed their hands frequently and kept everything clean. At night, she carried a lamp as she made her rounds, talking to her patients and giving them hope. Thanks to her, many more soldiers made it home safely, and she became known as the Lady with the Lamp.
Frida Kahlo, painter. Feet, what do I need you for when I have wings to fly? July 6, 1907 to July 13, 1954, Mexico. Once upon a time, in a bright blue house near Mexico City, lived a small girl called Frida. She would grow up to be one of the most famous painters of the 20th century, but she almost didn't grow up at all. When she was six, she nearly died from polio. The disease left her with a permanent limp, but that didn't stop her from playing, swimming, and wrestling just like all the other kids. Then, when she was 18, she was involved in a terrible bus accident. She almost died again, and again she spent months in bed. Her mother made her a special easel so that she could paint while lying down. For more than anything else, Frida loved to paint. As soon as she was able to walk again, she went to see Mexico's most famous artist, Diego Rivera. "Are my paintings any good?" she asked him. Her paintings were amazing, bold, bright, and beautiful. He fell in love with them, and he fell in love with Frida. Diego and Frida got married. He was a big man in a large floppy hat. She looked tiny beside him. People called them the elephant and the dove. Frida painted hundreds of beautiful self-portraits during her life, often surrounded with the animals and birds that she kept. The bright blue house where she lived has been kept just as she left it, full of color and joy and flowers.
Grace Hopper, computer scientist. If it's a good idea, go ahead and do it. Born December 9, 1906, died January 1, 1992, United States of America. Once upon a time, there was a little girl called Grace who really wanted to understand how alarm clocks worked. She started taking apart all the clocks she could find. First one, then another, then the third. By the time she got to her seventh clock, her mom realized there were no more clocks in the house and told her to stop. Grace kept tinkering with anything she found interesting. Eventually, she became a professor of math and physics. During the Second World War, she joined the Navy, like her grandfather who was an admiral. She was assigned to work on a special project. "Come and meet Mark," they said. She went into a room, but instead of a person, She was introduced to the first computer, called Mark One. It filled the entire room. Since it was the first, no one knew exactly how to use it. So Gray started studying it. It took a lot of hard work. But thanks to the programs Grace wrote for the Mark One and its successors, U.S. forces were able to decode secret messages sent by their enemies during the war. When she was old, Grace tried to retire more than once, but she was always called back because of her extraordinary expertise. She eventually became an admiral, like her grandfather. All her life, Grace went to bed early and woke up at 5 a.m. to work on computer coding. She never stopped being curious, and her incredible work showed the world what computers could do.
Grace O'Malley, Pirate. I am the Queen of the Sea. Born circa 1530, died circa 1603. Ireland. Once upon a time, on a wild green island, lived a girl with long ginger hair. Her name was Grace. When wind howled and waves crashed against the rocks, Grace would stand on the clifftop and dream of sailing out across the stormy seas. "Girls cannot be sailors," her father told her. "And anyway, your long hair would get tangled in the rigging." Grace didn't like this one bit. She cut her hair short and dressed in boys' clothes to prove to her family that she too could live the life of the sea. Finally, one day, her father agreed to take her sailing on one condition. "If we meet a pirate ship, hide below deck," he said. But when they were attacked, Grace leaped off the rigging and landed on one of the pirates' backs. Her surprise attack worked, and they beat the pirates off. Grace was a fine sailor and wanted to do something more exciting than catching fish. When the English attacked her castle, she became a pirate herself rather than submit to English rule. Grace was so successful that soon she had her own fleet of ships, as well as several islands and castles along the west coast of Ireland. When the English captured her sons, Grace sailed to meet the Queen of England, Elizabeth I, to try and save them. To everyone's surprise, the Queen and Grace became friends. The Queen returned her sons and possessions, and Grace helped her fight against England's enemies, the Spanish.
Harriet Tubman, Freedom Fighter. "And I prayed to God to make me strong and able to fight, and that's what I've always prayed for ever since." Circa 1822 to March 10th, 1913, United States of America. One day, a girl was standing in front of a grocery store when a black man came running past. He was being chased by a white man who yelled, "Stop that man! He's my slave!" She did nothing to stop him. The girl's name was Harriet. She was 12 years old, and she was also enslaved. Harriet hoped the man would escape. She wanted to help him. Just then the overseer hurled an iron object at the running man. He missed, but hit Harriet on the head. She was badly injured, but her thick hair cushioned the blow enough to save her life. "My hair had never been combed," she said, "and it stood out like a bushel basket." A few years later, the family who owned her put her up for sale, so Harriet decided to escape. She hid in the daytime and traveled by night. When she crossed the border into Pennsylvania, she realized for the first time in her life she was free. "I looked at my hands to see if I was the same person now that I was free. There was such glory over everything, and I felt like I was in heaven." She thought about the runaway slave and her family in Maryland, who were still enslaved. She knew she had to help them. Over the next 11 years, she went back 19 times and rescued hundreds of enslaved people. She was never captured, and she never lost a single person.
Hatshepsut, Pharaoh. I have restored that which was in ruins. I have raised up that which was destroyed. Circa 1508 to 1458 BC, Egypt. Long before Cleopatra, a woman ruled Egypt for 25 years. Her name was Hatshepsut, and she was the first woman to ever become pharaoh. At the time, the idea of a woman being pharaoh was so strange that Hatshepsut had to act as though she was a man in order to convince Egyptians that she was their legitimate leader. She proclaimed herself king and not queen and canceled the female suffix in her name. She wore men's clothes and sometimes even put on a false beard. Hatshepsut reigned longer and more successfully than any other pharaoh in all of Egyptian history. But apparently that wasn't enough. 20 years after she died, someone tried to erase her from history. Statues of her were smashed, and her name was removed from the records. Why? Because a female pharaoh freaked people out. What if her success encouraged other women to seek power? Thankfully, it's not so easy to erase the memory of someone immortalized in stone. Enough traces of her life and work remain for modern archaeologists to piece together her story. Hatshepsut's mummy, wrapped in linen and perfumed with resins, had been removed from her original grave and hidden, but it was found in the Valley of the Kings a few years ago.
Helen Keller, activist. The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. June 27, 1880 to June 1, 1968. United States of America. Once upon a time, a girl named Helen suffered from a bad fever that left her deaf and blind. Frustrated and angry, she used to lie on the ground, kicking and screaming. One day, her mom took Helen to a special school for the blind. A talented young teacher named Anne Sullivan met them and decided to try and teach Helen how to speak. "But how can you learn the word doll if you cannot see your doll?" Anne wondered. "How do you say water if you've never heard anyone speak?" Anne realized that she had to use Helen's sense of touch. She held Helen's fingers under running water and spelled the word water on her hand. Then she spelled the word doll while Helen cuddled her favorite doll. Helen suddenly understood that different words stood for different things. With her fingers on Anne's lips, Helen felt the vibrations when these words were spoken, and slowly she learned how to make those words herself. Soon, she was speaking out loud for the first time. She learned how to read Braille by running her fingers over the raised dots. She even learned different languages, French, German, Latin, and Greek, too. Helen gave public speeches and championed the rights of people with disabilities. She traveled the world with her amazing teacher and her beloved dog. She didn't need words to tell them how she felt. She just gave them a big, loving hug.
Hillary Rodham Clinton, presidential candidate. To every little girl who dreams big, I say yes. You can be anything you want, even president. Born October 26, 1947, United States of America. There was a time when only boys could be whatever they wanted. Baseball players, doctors, judges, policemen, presidents. At that time, in Illinois, a girl named Hillary was born. Hillary was a brave, blonde girl with thick glasses and boundless curiosity. She wanted to go out and explore the world, but she was scared of the rough boys in her neighborhood who laughed at her and called her names. Once, her mother saw her hiding inside. "Hillary, you get out there and deal with them. Otherwise, the bullies will win without even a fight." So out she went. She learned how to fight against bullies and soon found others who were fighting too. People of color fighting against racism. Single moms fighting to bring up their kids. Hillary listened to all their stories and tried to figure out how she could help. The best way to fight for justice, she decided, was to go into politics. Because many Americans were not used to seeing a woman politician, they criticized her for silly reasons like her hairstyle, the sound of her voice, or the clothes she wore. They tried to bully her out of politics. But Hillary had learned how to deal with bullies, and she stood up to them. Hillary became the first woman nominated by a major party for President of the United States. There was a time when girls could not be whatever they wanted, but that time is gone.
Hypatia, mathematician and philosopher. Reserve your right to think, for even to think wrongly is better than not to think at all. Born circa 370, died March 8th, 415, Egypt. Once upon a time, in the ancient Egyptian city of Alexandria, there was a huge library, the largest library in the whole world at that point. This was a library with no books and no paper. People wrote on papyrus, which was made from a plant, which they rolled into scrolls instead of having flat books like we have today. In this ancient library, there were thousands of scrolls, each handwritten by a scribe and carefully kept on a shelf. In the library at Alexandria, a father and a daughter sat side by side studying scrolls together. Philosophy, math, and science were their favorite subjects. Their names were Theon and Hypatia. Hypatia solved equations and put forward new theories about geometry and arithmetic. She liked studying so much that soon she started to write her own books. Oops, scrolls. She even built an instrument called an astrolabe for calculating the position of the sun, the moon, and the stars at any given time. Hypatia taught astronomy, and her classes were always popular. Students and other scholars crowded in to hear her speak. She refused to wear traditional women's clothes and gave her lectures dressed in scholars' robes like the other teachers. Sadly, all her works were destroyed when the library burned down. But luckily, her students wrote to each other about Hypatia and her brilliant ideas, so we could also learn about this genius of Alexandria.
Irena Sendlerova, War Hero. I was brought up to believe that if a person was drowning, they must be rescued, regardless of their religion or nationality. Born February 15th, 1910, died May 12th, 2008, Poland. In Poland, there lived a little girl called Irena, who loved her father dearly. One day, a terrible epidemic of typhus broke out in their city, Warsaw. Irena's father was a brave doctor. He could have stayed away from the people who were sick and not put himself at risk. But he chose to be with them and look after them until he, himself, fell ill with the disease. Before he died, he said to his daughter, "Irena, if you see someone drowning, you must jump in and try to save them." Irena cherished his words. When Jews started to be persecuted by the Nazis, she helped Jewish families save their children. She gave the children Christian names and found Christian families where they could be safe. She wrote their real names and their new names on little slips of paper that she rolled up and hid in marmalade jars. Then she buried all the jars in a friend's garden under a big tree. Sometimes, the smaller children would cry when Irena was taking them away. To distract the Nazi guards and cover up the noise, Irena trained a dog to bark when she told it to. She hid children in sacks, in bags full of clothes, in boxes, even inside coffins. In 3 months, she saved 2,500 children. After the war, she dug up the marmalade jars and reunited many of the children with their families.
Isabel Allende, writer. Write what should not be forgotten. Born August 2, 1942, Chile. Not long ago in Chile, there lived a passionate young girl called Isabel. Isabel protested every time she was treated differently for being a girl. Whenever someone told her she could not do something because she was a girl, her heart ignited with indignation. She loved writing and was fascinated by people and their life stories, so she decided to become a journalist. One day, she interviewed a famous Chilean poet called Pablo Neruda. "You have such a vivid imagination. You should be writing novels, not articles for a newspaper," he told her. A few years later, Isabel got some sad news. Her grandfather was dying. She was far from home in Venezuela and could not go back to Chile to visit him. So she started writing him a letter. Once she started writing, she found she couldn't stop. She wrote about her family, about people who were alive and people who were dead. She wrote about a cruel dictator, about passionate love stories, a terrible earthquake, supernatural powers, and ghosts. The letter grew so long that it turned into a novel. The House of the Spirits became wildly successful, making Isabel one of the most famous novelists of our time. She has written 20 more books and won more than 50 literary awards.
Jacotte de la Haye, Pirate. "I couldn't love a man who commands me, any more than I could love one who lets himself be commanded by me." Circa 1640s to circa 1660s, Haiti. Once upon a time in Haiti, there was a girl with hair as red as fire. Her name was Jacotte. Jacotte's mother died while giving birth to her little brother. Their father died not long after, and Jacotte had to find a way to provide for herself and for her brother. So she decided to become a pirate. Jacotte led a gang of hundreds of pirates. Together, while at sea, they ate smoked meat, played games, pressed gunpowder and cannons, and robbed Spanish ships. She even had a secret island where she and her pirates lived. Jacotte had many enemies. Both the government and rival buccaneers were after her. In order to escape, she decided to fake her own death and go into hiding. She gave herself a new name and dressed as a man, but her deception didn't last long. No one else had such flaming red hair. She soon returned to piracy and earned the nickname Back from the Dead Red. Jacotte had a girlfriend who was a pirate too. Her name was Anne Dieu Leviette, and she was married and had two children. After her husband died during a fight, she took command of their ship and joined forces with Jacotte. They were two of the most feared pirates of the Caribbean. Their stories became legends that both female and male pirates told each other as they lay in their hammocks beneath the stars rocked by the waves, dreaming of the adventures that awaited them at dawn.
Jane Austen, writer. Ah, there is nothing like staying at home for real comfort. Born December 16th, 1775, died July 18th, 1817, United Kingdom. Once upon a time, in the English countryside, there was a girl who loved books more than anything else. There was nowhere that Jane would rather be than curled up on a sofa in her father's library with her nose in a book. She would get so engrossed in the stories that sometimes she even argued with the characters, as though they could talk back. Jane and her seven siblings would put on plays and charades to amuse themselves and their parents. When she was still very young, she started to write her own stories and used to read them out to her sister Cassandra to make her laugh. Jane's writing was like Jane herself, bright, inventive, witty, and sharp. To her, every detail counted. How a couple squabbled, how a man walked, what maids said to each other, These were all clues revealing people's characters. Jane jotted down everything in her notebooks, ready to use in her novels. At that time, girls were expected to get married, but Jane didn't want to get married, so she never did. "Oh, Lizzie, do anything rather than marry without affection," she wrote in one of her novels. Jane Austen came to be one of the most famous writers in the history of English literature. You can still visit the beautiful cottage in the little village where she used to sit, writing at a small desk, looking out of the window and into the flower garden.
Jane Goodall, primatologist. Only if we understand will we care. Only if we care will we help. Only if we help shall all be saved. Born April 3, 1934, United Kingdom. Once, in England, there was a girl called Jane who loved climbing trees and reading books. Her dream was to go to Africa and spend time with the wild animals there. So one day, Jane flew to Tanzania with her notebook and binoculars, determined to study real chimpanzees in their natural environment. At first, it was hard to get close to them. The chimpanzees would run away the moment she was in sight. But Jane kept visiting the same place every day at the same time. Eventually, the chimps allowed her to get closer. Getting closer was not enough for Jane. She wanted to become friends with them. So she started a banana club. Whenever she visited the chimpanzees, she would share bananas with them. At the time, little was known about chimpanzees. Some scientists used to observe them from far away, using binoculars. Others studied chimps in cages. Jane, instead, spent hours hanging out with chimpanzees. She tried to speak to them using grunts and cries. She climbed trees and ate the same foods they ate. She discovered that chimpanzees have rituals, that they use tools, and that their language comprises at least 20 different sounds. She even discovered that chimpanzees are not vegetarians. Once, Jane rescued an injured chimpanzee and nursed it back to health. When she released it back into the wild, the chimpanzee turned and gave her a long, loving hug, as if to say, "Thanks, and bye."
Jessica Watson, sailor. You can't change conditions, just the way you deal with them. Born May 18th, 1993, Australia. Once upon a time, there was a girl called Jessica who was afraid of water. One summer morning, Jessica was playing with her sister and cousins by the pool. At one point, the other children lined up on the side and got ready to jump in together holding hands. Jessica's mom watched from the window to make sure Jessica was okay. She expected Jessica to step back from the side, but was amazed to see her daughter step forward with the others. 1, 2, 3! Splash! All the kids landed in the water, shouting and laughing. From that day on, Jessica started loving the water. She joined a sailing club and decided to sail around the world on her own without stopping. She painted her boat bright pink and christened her Ella's Pink Lady. She packed the boat with steak and kidney pies, potatoes, cans and cans of beans, 150 bottles of milk, and lots of water, and set sail from Sydney Harbor. She was just 16 years old. All on her own, Jessica sailed onward. She fought against waves as tall as skyscrapers. She woke up to the most beautiful sunrises, spotted blue whales, and watched shooting stars above her boat. 7 months later, she arrived back in Sydney. Thousands of people turned out to greet her. They rolled out a special carpet for her, bright pink, just like her boat.
Jill Tarter, astronomer. Scientific ideas shine light into dark corners. Born January 16th, 1944, United States of America. Once there was a girl who wanted to become friends with the stars. Her name was Jill. How can we be alone in the universe when the sky is so big? She used to wonder. She couldn't stop thinking about it. So when she grew up, she decided to search the skies for extraterrestrial life. She became an astronomer and director of SETI, the most important center for scientific research into the possibility of life in outer space. For years, Jill and her team investigated hundreds of star systems, using radio telescopes located around the world. Every night, she looked for signs of civilization on some distant planet. Nobody knew, and even today, nobody knows what communication systems aliens might be using. The only thing we do know is that the universe is too big for us to be its only inhabitants. Jill especially enjoyed her solitary walks at night under the starry sky. I'd walk to the control room to start my shift at midnight. Orion was right overhead like an old friend, she recalls. None of her research so far has established any scientific proof for extraterrestrial life, but she hasn't lost hope. No one ever said there are no fish in the sea just because one glass of water came up empty, she says.
Jingu, Empress. Brandishing our weapons, we shall brave the towering waves. Our fleet is ready to take possession of the land of treasure. Circa 169 to 269. Japan. Once upon a time in Japan, there lived an empress who was expecting a child. One day, her husband, the emperor, declared war on a group of rebels. Jingu did not agree. She told him of a vision that had come to her in a dream. They should use their army to invade Korea, a country full of marvelous things dazzling to the eye. Jingu's husband did not take her advice. He lost the battle against the rebels and died. While still pregnant, Jingu kept her husband's death secret, put on his clothes, and defeated the rebels herself. She then led the Japanese army across the Sea of Japan to conquer Korea, as her dream foretold. As well as having dreams that helped her win battles, Jingu was thought to have all kinds of magical powers. People said that she controlled the tides using two special jewels she had in her jewelry box. Others said that her son, Ojin, remained in her womb for 3 whole years, giving his mother time to invade Korea and return home before giving birth. She was probably just exceptionally talented and tough. Jingu was a heroic warrior and never afraid to take responsibility for her actions. If this expedition is successful, it will be due to you, my ministers. And if not, I alone am to blame, she said. The expedition was successful, and she reigned for over 70 years.
Joan Jett, rock star. My guitar is not a thing. It is an extension of myself. It is who I am. Born September 22, 1958, United States of America. Joan loved rock and roll. One Christmas, when she was 13 years old, she got her first guitar. She was ecstatic, but something was missing. Playing on her own was okay, she thought, but if I really want to be a rock star, I need a band. One year later, she had her band together. Sandy on drums, Sherry on vocals, Jackie played bass, and Lita was the band's lead guitarist. With Joan on rhythm guitar and singing, they were the Runaways. They were 15 years old, loud, and proud. On stage, Joan always wore a red leather jumpsuit, and Sherry often came on in nothing but her underwear. You're too young, people said. So what? They shouted back. You're too loud, people complained. They just played louder. Girls can't be punk rockers. Oh, yeah? Just watch us. One of their first songs, Cherry Bomb, was a hit. Their second album, Queens of Noise, became a sensation in Japan. It wasn't always easy, though. Back home, they toured around in a beat-up old van, traveling from town to town through the night. Sometimes people would shout at them and throw things, but the Runaways didn't care. They lived for the music. They felt raw and alive.
Julia Child, chef. A party without cake is just a meeting. August 15th, 1912 to August 13th, 2004. United States of America. At 6 feet 2 inches, Julia Child was an uncommonly tall girl. When the Second World War broke out, Julia was determined to join the army. She was rejected for being too tall. The Navy said she was too tall for them too. So, she became a spy. One of her first missions was to solve a highly explosive problem. Dotted around the ocean were underwater bombs targeting German submarines. The trouble was that they kept being set off by sharks swimming too close. All the other agents were stumped. But Julia had an idea. She started cooking. Mixing together all sorts of disgusting ingredients, she baked cakes that smelled like dead shark when released into the water. Sharks didn't dare get close to them. You know when you spray your arms with insect repellent to keep the bugs away? She did the same, only with sharks and bombs. After the war ended, Julia and her husband moved to France for his job. Julia's first mouthful of French food was mind-blowing. She couldn't believe that food tasted so wonderful. No more shark repellent for her. She decided to join Le Cordon Bleu, the finest cooking school in the world, and learn everything the chefs there could teach her. Julia became a world authority on French food, and her cookbook, Mastering the Art of French Cooking, was a bestseller. She even had her own TV shows. Bon appétit, she said, except if you're a shark.
Kate Shepard, suffragette. Do not think your single vote does not matter much. The rain that refreshes the parched ground is made up of single drops. Born March 10, 1847, died July 13, 1934, New Zealand. There was a time when men believed women were put on earth only to serve them. They thought women should cook and clean, look after the children, and not worry about anything else. Women, so they thought, should wear feminine clothes, which meant long dresses with tight lace corsets. It didn't matter that women dressed that way could hardly move or even breathe. They just had to look pretty. Having a job was off limits. Playing sports was off limits, and governing the country was definitely off limits. Women were not even allowed to vote. But Kate thought that women should have the same freedom as men, freedom to say what they thought, to vote for whom they wanted, and to wear comfortable clothes. One day, she stood up and declared, "Women should be allowed to vote, and they should stop wearing corsets." People were shocked, outraged, and inspired by Kate's radical new ideas. Kate and her friends gathered so many signatures on their petition that they had to paste sheets of paper together to form a long roll. They carried it into Parliament and unrolled it on the floor like a really long carpet. Imagine 74 ice cream trucks parked in a line. It was even longer than that. It was the longest petition ever presented. The legislators were speechless. Thanks to Kate, New Zealand became the first country in the world where women gained the right to vote.
Lakshmi Bai, Queen and Warrior. Charge! November 19, 1828 to June 18, 1858, India. Once upon a time, in the state of Jhansi, India, lived a girl who loved fighting. She studied self-defense, archery, and sword fighting. She trained hard at weightlifting and wrestling, and was a brilliant rider, too. She formed her own private army with other girls who were also skilled in fighting techniques. Lakshmi Bai married Gangadhar Rao, Maharaja of Jhansi, and became queen, Rani in Sanskrit. Lakshmi and Gangadhar had a child, but the boy died tragically young. The Maharaja never recovered from the sadness of losing a son and died himself soon after. At that time, the British ruled India, and they wanted to rule Jhansi too. They used the death of Lakshmi's son and husband as an excuse and ordered her to leave the palace. First, Rani Lakshmibai tried to fight the British in court, but they refused to hear her case. So she assembled an army of 20,000 rebels, which included both women and men. After a fierce battle, her army was overcome. But even then, Rani Lakshmibai did not give in. She left the city by jumping her horse down a huge wall and headed east, where she was joined by more rebels, many of whom were girls like her. Rani Lakshmibai led her troops back into battle, dressed as a man and on horseback. One of the British generals remembered her as the most dangerous of all the rebel leaders.
Lila Lombardi, Formula One racer. I prefer racing to falling in love. March 26, 1941 to March 3, 1992. Italy. Once there was a girl who liked to help her father deliver meats in their van. Every time they had a delivery, she would jump into the driver's seat and her father would time her. Her name was Maria Grazia, but everybody called her Lela. Lela was so good at driving that she set a new record with each delivery. Everyone in town got used to seeing the Lombardi's van driving at full speed down the hills, with salami bouncing around in the back. When she turned 18, Lela used all her savings to buy a used racing car and started racing professionally. When her parents read in the newspaper that she had won the Formula 850 championship, they weren't really surprised. Lela didn't care that she was always the only woman in the race. She just drove as fast as she could to become a Formula One racing driver. Her first attempt was a flop. She didn't even qualify. But the next year, she found a good manager, a sponsor, and a fantastic car, white with the Italian flag on the nose. During the Spanish Grand Prix, Lela finished sixth, becoming the first ever female driver to score points in a Formula One race. Despite her success, her team decided to hire another driver, a man, and Lela realized that Formula One still wasn't ready to accept women drivers. She continued to race all her life. No other female driver has yet beaten her Formula One.
Lozen, warrior. In this world, the unseen has power. Circa late 1840s to 1886. United States of America. Once upon a time, there was a girl who wanted to be a warrior. Her name was Lozen, and she belonged to one of the Apache tribes, Native American people who originally roamed across what is now Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. When Lozen was still a little child, the United States Army attacked the Apache to take control of their land. Lozen saw many of her friends and relatives die in battle, and from that moment on, she vowed that she would dedicate her life to defending her tribe and her people. "I don't want to learn woman's work, and I don't want to get married," she said to her brother Victorio. "I want to become a warrior." Victorio was the leader of their tribe and taught Lozen to fight and hunt. He always wanted her by his side on the battlefield. "Lozen is my right hand," he used to say. "Strong as a man, braver than most, and cunning in strategy, Lozen is a shield to her people." Her courage and strength were legendary. People believed she had supernatural powers that allowed her to anticipate the movements of their enemies. She became the spiritual leader of her tribe, as well as a healer. After her brother died, Lozen joined forces with the famous Apache leader Geronimo. She was eventually captured with this last group of free Apache, but her memory is still strong in the heart of all people who fight for freedom.
May C. Jemison, astronaut and doctor. I always knew I'd go to space. Born October 17th, 1956, United States of America. Once upon a time, there was a curious girl named May who could not make up her mind about what she wanted to be when she grew up. Sewing dresses for her Barbie dolls, she wanted to be a fashion designer. Reading a book about space travel.